It's showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
It is Wednesday, my dudes. Welcome in to the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. We have another edition of Overtime, clocking in a little after 6 on your hump day. Hope everyone is doing well out there. Gorgeous day outside today in East Tennessee. A little bit warmer, so not completely frigid out there, even though it is still a cold one. It is the middle of January after all, but hope everyone's had a fantastic day. Thank you for joining us here. I'm Tanner Carson. I'm joined by my executive producer, Justin Feist, who is back in the building after a night off working the cameras at the Tommy Bowl last night and dodging wild John Fulkersons and Jordan Bowdens, who were barreling towards him at full speed.
I mean, you love to see the action and, you know, the effort of these guys, but when a 180, 190, Folky probably weighs more than 200 pound guys hurtling towards you. It's a little bit scary, but
you got the shot though.
Managed to absorb the contact, maintained, kept players in shots. So it's what you call a good night.
You had who was on the call last night? Was it
Wise and I forget the play-by-play guy, but it was Mark Wise and somebody else.
Well, either way, they complimented your camera work on the broadcast.
Kind of a professional.
Oh, kind of a professional. Okay. Nice little humble brag by Justin Feist, but good to have Justin back behind the booth here. And our third man for tonight, finishing up the drives podcast, he will join us on the mic very shortly. We have Hayden Wallen, who is back in the building tonight. So three-man crew for this Wednesday edition of Overtime. We will be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. Plenty to get into. First things first, about that basketball game, Tennessee, guys, against a conference opponent, especially, which leads me to this conclusion, and it's not a profound conclusion or anything like that, but Tennessee basketball played its most complete game last night. 73-48 win over Ole Miss. Is Ole Miss less than stellar competition? Certainly. They did enter last night's game on a 5-game skid. They are still winless in the SEC. They're not really good at all outside of Brian Tyree and a couple of his teammates who are pretty good shooters. Outside of that, not a good team. We know this, but you would rather beat a not good team by 25 versus go down to the wire against them. You were a 6.5-point favorite. You covered that and then some. You, after kind of trading blows, trying to fill each other out for about the, I guess, until about the first media timeout. Then after that, Tennessee just slowly built up this lead. You went into halftime with a sizable lead. You never let Ole Miss think that they were going to chip away at that. I mean, their only hope really to get a whole lot of scoring was from Brian Tyree. And he kind of shot Ole Miss out of the game. That's kind of what happens when you have a really good shooter like that who's going to take a high volume of shots. And if he's not making them and you have no other real option to go to, you're kind of screwed, as you saw what happened to Ole Miss last night. And Tennessee was able to take advantage of that. Came into the game averaging 19 per game. He did finish with 19, but he got a lot of that near the end in garbage time in the second half. You really made sure he didn't hurt you. You got Sigh, right? Is it C or Sigh? Sigh. Yeah, you got Sigh of Ole Miss, their only real post threat, into early foul trouble, and then you were just able to feast from there. That was going to be the obvious game plan. Tennessee took full advantage of that. No stat tells the tale of the tape more than John Fulkerson having 16 of his career high 18 points in the first half. John Vogerson looking like SEC Player of the Year in the first half against Ole Miss. It was fantastic. Just getting to the paint, getting to the rim consistently, making that Ole Miss defense his property for the evening. And it was just a consistent all-around offensive efficient effort from Tennessee. You finished shooting 49% from the field. You hit a good amount of threes. You were able to get to the free throw line and especially, most importantly, convert those opportunities as well. And, of course, defensively, I mean, hold an opponent to 48 points in conference. Back-to-back games of holding opponents under 50, that's going to be the easiest winning formula here. Tennessee gets the dub, 12-6 overall. You move, most importantly, two games above 500 in conference play as well. Justin, you were right there, of course, looking at the action up close and personal. Thoughts on this effort by Tennessee? Do you think that is their probably best overall complete game of the season so far?
Yeah, it's been a really great past three halves of basketball now, ever since halftime of their last game. Great to see Folke get his career high. He was all over the place. Effort with him is always at, you know, 150%. I liked how, you know, I can't believe we only ended up with five blocks total, because watching it, it felt like, you know, we were jumping up and slapping the ball out of the air pretty much every.
Felt like E. Pons had five of those just
himself. He had two on the same play at one point, I think. He blocked one back to a guy, and then it ended up being a goaltend. But that, you know, the defensive effort was great as always. That's something that Tennessee, you know, we have to keep that element of our game up. And we definitely did that last night. You know, not great, really not great percentage performances from the rest of the guys, but as you know, we played defensive basketball, we were moving it around pretty well. You know, Viscovi only had three, but he picked off two passes that were pretty good reads, so he's doing better on the defensive side.
And real quick here on Viscovi too, I think his most important stat too is the fact that you didn't really need him to score more than three.
Yeah.
I was looking more at you mentioned one of the stats. He had the two steals early on, which is fantastic to see him still remaining active on the defensive side of the ball. And also four assists to only two turnovers. Mm-hmm. What he's needed to work on the most is his ability to take care of the basketball. He has been doing that pretty well over these last few games, and to see him dish out some just absolutely fantastic passes. Once he drives to the hoop and then he ends up finding an open man to get a nice little layup, or he finds a man out there for an open look from three, I mean, he's just so crisp when he does it like that.
Yeah, he makes some tricky passes, and he had a couple possessions where he was kind of dribbling around, just not really moving anywhere. So, you know, he got stuck a few times on the court. But overall, I mean, very complete performance by this team. Four guys in double digits. Again, great game by Folke. Josiah, six assists. You know, love to see him as the assist leader. He had zero turnovers to six assists. So it seems like we took care of the ball really well. I was glad to see Urosh come in and made two of those hook shots that he struggled with his first game, and
he loves that shot.
Yeah,
absolutely loves it.
He worked on it. It converted. So, all in all, balanced performance, and you know, given the new situation at Kansas, you know, I'm pretty hopeful. So,
I see a lot more people are hopeful too. And one more quick thing from me, just about the overall performance. Now, did all of your starters, you know, weren't, you know, I will say from the starting five, all of them weren't, you know, completely having perfect games? You know, you already mentioned Santiago. He did go 1 of 5 from the floor. All of those were three-point attempts. Josiah James, 3 of 10 from the field. The good thing about him is that he looks like a totally different ball player than a couple of months ago, just taking the aggressive shots that he needs to, be more of a, having more of an alpha type of mentality out there. outside of that, man, I'm looking at this bench performance too, because you mentioned four of those points from Urosh. He was able to get in 11 minutes. But also, how about a solid performance from Olivier Kamwa? He went 3-of-3 from the floor, and also 4-of-4 from the charity stripe. Finishes with 10 points, 4 rebounds, and a couple of blocks as well. He had 2 out of the 5. It's good to see him finally look like someone we saw a few months ago with all that potential as a freshman. And also, how about Jalen Johnson drilling 2 3-pointers as well, and also getting to the free throw line? He finishes with 8. So you had a great bench performance as well, which you love to see in conference play.
There's definitely something that Ole Miss did not have. Ole Miss ended up with, I guess they had 9 bench points, but last game they only had 3 points off the bench. So it was a game where if Tyree was not, shooting well, they pretty much had no shot.
In 7-of-22, yeah. He had no shot. So he had absolutely no shot here. Hayden Wallen, how are you doing, buddy?
Great.
What did you think about the game last night?
It was boring, and that was good to see.
Reminds you a lot of last year, didn't it? And so yeah, that's what I was thinking. The games would go
when I was leaving the game last night. I was, because I left at halftime to do VR, and I was like, "It's been a long time since we felt just like, what were we up 22 at halftime, something like that." So just complete domination.
I mean, not close enough. You knew that game was pretty much over.
So that was nice to see for the first time. This year, or in a game that mattered this year.
Yeah, it's been a while since you were just completely able to just have a full game and just to not really sweat it out near the end, or like you saw against Vanderbilt, had the first half to really get frustrated at just a terrible amount of basketball. Bad competition, like I said, but it's better to have a boring game against bad competition like this than to sweat it out and be really, really frustrated. So that was really good to see. Complete team effort from Tennessee. It seems like a lot of these players have finally started to accept their roles on the team. They finally start to feel a whole lot more comfortable in those as well. You saw more of just the identity that makes Tennessee really good, really competitive, and what they're going to need to do moving forward against better competition than Ole Miss, especially this upcoming Saturday. Which, as of last night, not just because Tennessee has looked solid in 3 halves of basketball consecutively now, also about the situation up in Lawrence, Kansas as well, after their win over rival Kansas State last night, and the near malice at the Palace that happened. Certainly things could have been a whole lot more uglier. It is something that was unexpected. I didn't expect to have to be talking about Kansas's roster like this with suspensions after a big bench-clearing brawl, but that is what happened last night. We'll go ahead and talk about the situation up there, what it means for Tennessee's matchup with the number 3 Jayhawks coming up this Saturday, and if y'all are starting to believe that Tennessee now has a shot with everything that has went on up there since last night. We're going to hit this first break and talk about that on the other side. You're listening to Overtime. Keep it right here on Fan Run Radio. Yeah, thunderstruck, all right. Silvio D'Souza of Kansas almost struck someone with a stool last night.
Such violence.
Before we just talk about the fight and the ramifications, you got to admit, those pictures that people were able to take of the brawl, those are fantastic. They need to be hung up in a museum somewhere. It's modern-day Renaissance art.
Yeah, it was a brawl that happened in the pretty much middle of the baseline where all, photographers congregate, and talented individuals snapped a lot of great action shots.
I love breaking down the individual reactions of everyone in that shot. As anyone knows, the dude that's in like the full Viking getup at the front row of the student section.
I did not notice that one. I did see the kid with the plunger like through his head in the background.
There's that. There's a woman who had kind of like fallen to the ground, and she's like trying her best to like put her arms out and be like, no, stop it. What are you doing? And then from the one of the videos taken of it, one of the shots of the video, you have a male Kansas cheerleader trying to hold back cops from the fight. The cheerleader was trying to hold back police, saying, wait, wait, hold up. This is under cheer law now, okay? I can handle this. I mean, everything was just spiraled out of control as soon as the game ended. D'Souza, Cecilio D'Souza of Kansas, he was the one that pretty much was right in the middle of when it all started. He blocked the attempted shot of DeJuan Gordon of Kansas State in the final second. Kansas won 81-60. Then he stands over him after he blocked the shot, and then just all hell breaks loose. You have benches clear. You have players for Kansas State who were injured and not even dressed out getting in the middle of this fight, throwing punches. Of course, D'Souza picked up the stool. I guess it was one of the Kansas assistants or someone involved with Kansas basketball. If he didn't get his arms up to get the stool out of his hands, who knows what happens if he tries to strike someone with that stool. I mean, everyone's punching each other. Everything finally gets solved. And today, your first official suspension is of course, D'Souza. Bill Self announced that he will be suspended indefinitely. This is after both schools in the Big 12 all had a review together. The other two Kansas players really involved in this brawl, besides D'Souza, were also Marcus Garrett and David McCormick. They have not been suspended yet. The feeling is that you're going to have to punish them somehow. Definitely probably not as long as D'Souza, but they're probably going to at least miss Saturday's game against, how about that, your Tennessee Volunteers. All of a sudden now, with what looks like to be three players missing for the Jayhawks, do you think potentially Tennessee may have a shot? Do you think that you're starting to believe a little bit? Because here's the thing, these aren't really huge stars that are going to be missing from the number three team in America, but those are players. That is depth. And you got to think that this has been a huge distraction to the Kansas team as well. So you have a lot going on up in Lawrence, whole lot going on. Do you think Tennessee could probably take advantage of that? Or do you at least feel that Rick Barnes and the team feel and believe like they might have more of a shot now?
Yeah, it definitely makes it a little bit more realistic. Who knows, maybe we'll end up, catching some of their rage at, secondary rage. But we'll see what happens. D'Souza being suspended, as far as depth goes, if we can get Azubuike in foul trouble, then that's definitely an interesting element, because we saw last night, we were able to move the ball inside really well. We ended up with 30 points in the paint. So, we're not going to have a shot to win this game if we can't move the ball inside. So that's something to look out for. If Azubuike is, out of the game in foul trouble, we definitely have a higher chance of successfully moving the ball inside and, getting some of those easier close to the rim layups and such. I still wouldn't predict us to win by any stretch, but, our play is improving and, a distraction like this, who knows, some other players will probably get suspended, over the next few days. So it's definitely all working in Tennessee's favor.
So the impact of Silvio D'Souza, don't get too excited just about him, because he's pretty much a non-factor for Kansas. He averages about 2 points per game, not really that much of a factor. He's more known for being the catalyst for Kansas's involvement in the whole investigation, the whole FBI case, and any other investigations, part of the multiple happenings that go on up in Lawrence seemingly all the time. McCormick and Garrett, though, they are definitely more factors. And again, those two haven't been suspended yet. It's likely that they will, though. You would at least think that if you want to have a good PR look, that you at least set them out a couple of games. Marcus Garrett is a starter, 9.5 points per game, 3.8 rebounds, 4.4 assists, shoots almost 47% from the field. Definitely a bigger factor there. David McCormick, the other player, His stats, significance, well, he's a big man, 6'10", averages 7.5 per game, 4.7 rebounds, almost 56% rate from the field as well. So the more punishment that's handed out to Kansas players, the more it helps out Tennessee. We've known ever since this game was announced that this was going to be something that's going to be extremely tough, no matter what type of team Kansas possesses, because few teams win in Fog Allen Fieldhouse. That's just the reality of it. It's hard to win up there, and especially when Kansas is still one of the best teams in the country, number three right now, 15-3 overall. But I think that makes this Tennessee team believe a little bit. I really do. They know they're not going to at least play a 100% fully loaded Kansas team. So regardless of what I think or any other analyst thinks, I know that the team thinks even more now that they can go up there and get a very, very huge resume building win as well. Hayden, do you believe? Are you starting to believe? Are you starting to feel positive?
I just don't know about, like, it just, those are, that's, I think it's their, one of their starters, and then is the other guy, like, the sixth man or something? I don't know if Garrett, he starts or
McCormick?
Not.
McCormick?
Garrett's the starter. McCormick, yeah, I think he's
McCormick
definitely.
Started 17 games, so.
Okay. Okay.
So two starters,
yeah, two players that play a lot. So that'll be a factor as far as the fatigue goes, but you're still going to have to deal with Dotson and Azubuki, and they killed us last year in the where we play them at in
it
New
was
York.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So I don't know. You're gonna have to score at least 70 points to win the game, and I think we're gonna struggle with that.
They are going to have a very talented roster still, as you went ahead and said, Hayden. But going back to what Justin mentioned too, and it's been maybe one of the number one strategies when it comes to Kansas's opponents, it's to get Udoka Azubuki in foul trouble. It's even to get him to the free throw stripes, a positive too. He's only a 40% free throw shooter as well. He struggles with the fouls, man, but when he's out there on the court, he's an absolute beast. He's a tank to deal with down there in the post. So the more that you can get him in foul trouble, the more that you can probably replicate some success like you had with Fulkerson and others down in the post like against Ole Miss last night. Not to really compare Kansas to Ole Miss, but it's going to be a similar type of strategy. But also, you'd still have to deal with who's probably overall their best NBA prospect, I would say, in Dotson. And he was one of the big factors for Kansas's win up in Brooklyn in the preseason NIT tip-off last year. But I don't know, man. I think this Tennessee team is built to take on a challenge like this. I know they're not going to be intimidated by Allen Fieldhouse. And I don't know.
You got some breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Oh, no.
Suspension news. So, D'Souza got 12 games. McCormick got 2 games. James Love, 8 games. So I guess that's a K-State player. And Antonio Gordon got 3 games.
So James Love and Antonio Gordon of K-State. Okay, so
McCormick will not be playing either.
That means Marcus Garrett will be playing. Interesting. I guess they didn't find anything egregious enough. What exactly was his role in the brawl?
I don't know. I'd have to break down the film.
He's number 15, isn't he?
Which one was the dude, like, stomping on people?
That was McCormick.
Okay, so McCormick definitely got a just suspension. We'll have to review this college basketball version of the Zapruder film to see what exactly Garrett was doing. Okay, so two players officially out now. McCormick definitely a bigger deal now. It's better than dealing with a 100% full Kansas roster. I'm not saying that I believe 100% that, oh, yeah, this is the chance. Tennessee is going to win now because of two players who average less than double digits per game, and in the case of D'Souza, 2.5 points per game. That means they're going to go up to the Fog and win, where Bill Self only has, like, maybe 11 losses in his time at Kansas at home. I'm not saying that. I just know that it is more of an edge. It is more of an edge. And when this Tennessee team has dealt with what it has all season, you need all the types of advantages that you can get.
And I think it makes the game plan pretty straightforward. Go right at Azubuki. Hope he fouls you. You know, a kid like Kamwa, shot well from the free throw line yesterday. Eve, Kamwa, Folke, hopefully just go right at him, try to make buckets under the basket, and hopefully get Azubuike to the bench as soon as possible.
Was the dude who got 8 games for K-State the guy who was already injured and just up there throwing punches? I assume it's him, right? Because that was like the first K-State player I'd noticed in all that.
I'm not sure.
Polo-wearing dude. It had to be him, right?
What number is Garrett? Can you look that up?
Marcus Garrett.
Garrett's zeros. Double zero.
Okay. You're looking at the tape right now?
Yeah.
What do you see? Give us a play-by-play.
Yeah, so I think the guy that for K-State is the guy who was in street clothes.
What an idiot. He wasn't even playing, and now he gets suspended. That's okay. Got to be one of the first times that's – well, I doubt it's the first time it's ever happened in college basketball, but that's
– okay. So what I think they've grabbed while they picked those – well, two – is those Garrett, McCormick, and who's the other guy?
D'Souza.
D'Souza. Yeah, D'Souza. They are the three that went – like almost too into the crowd. Like they're the three farthest like away. And so McCormick is the one who stomps, D'Souza's the one who picks up the stool. But I don't know how Garrett doesn't get suspended because he is literally right next to McCormick in this video. Like,
you know why someone as talented as Garrett doesn't get suspended? Because it's Kansas basketball.
I mean, that's him.
It's Kansas basketball.
I know this is radio, but I'm going to show Tanner. That's,
I can describe it, yeah.
That's him right there, and there's McCormick. You see yeah. Him right there?
And McCormick gets...
And that's D'Souza.
And McCormick gets two, and I'm not... Well, I'm mostly not just saying this because it's the Tennessee game on Saturday, but you have to think Garrett at least gets one game.
You know, basketball...
I mean, they're right next to each other.
Basketball aside, you know, this is just something that, you know, just can't happen, and, you know, you gotta nip this in the bud. So from a completely objective standpoint, you know, I would be very disappointed if, you know, Garrett was not punished in any sort of way. I would just hate to see him walk away scot-free. You know, has nothing to do with basketball, but
let's go ahead and we'll come back, wrap up this conversation about this new news coming up from Lawrence on the other side here, and just what this overall means for this Saturday's game. SEC Big 12 Challenge. Tennessee travels up to take on the Jayhawks, who are now without Silvio D'Souza and now McCormick as well. But Marcus Garrett still playing for the Jayhawks. Very interesting ruling coming out of Lawrence. Talk about this more on the other side. You're listening to Overtime. Be sure to pick you up some Truly Hard Seltzer. Local grocery retail outlet will have some in stock. Be sure to pick you up some of the new Truly Lemonade flavors as well. 4 different varieties of those to go along with your 13 varieties of Truly already in stock. 100 calories, less than 1 gram of sugar, gluten-free, 5% alcohol. Truly will not weigh you down. Put it in your rotation for watching sports, hanging out with your friends and family. You can go out to Hobson Hollers, pick you up some Truly as well. They're in the fridge, nice and cold. Drink what you truly want to with the light, refreshing taste of Truly Hard Seltzer. I was going to finish up talking about this Kansas thing, and I will here in a second. 25 minutes ago, Jerry Stackhouse, NBA legend and head coach of Vanderbilt men's basketball, he just tweeted out this. I know we're on radio. I'm going to show Hayden, and then I'm going to show you, Justin. Look, it's like a big,
very long
statement. It looks like someone died. Well, something did die over in Nashville. It was, of course, the Vanderbilt 3-point streak. Good Lord, he released an entire statement, and I haven't read this yet. But from the tweets, it seems like this entire thing is about Vanderbilt's 3-point making streak coming to an end. This long ass paragraph.
Well.
Are you kidding me?
Disappointing, I guess.
Are you kidding me? He says, Commodore Nation, last Saturday's game against Tennessee was a disappointing one. We not only lost at home to our biggest rival, but went 0-25 from 3, therefore ending the 34-year streak of consecutive threes. As a former college basketball player that was coached by the legendary Dean Smith, I thoroughly understand the importance of basketball tradition, history, and legacy, and was saddened to watch a piece of Vanderbilt tradition end during my tenure. I was also equally saddened to hear the boos that came after made shots by our young student athletes. As a coach, I pride myself in teaching those young men the right way to play basketball, and although they were encouraged to take threes at the end of that game and plays drawn up for three-point attempts, I can find no fault in our players making the right plays by giving what the defense gave them, and whether that be a dunk or a layup. The last 3 minutes of the game, while we were down by 20 and Tennessee began to empty their bench, our starters and best shooters remained in the game and continued to press on defense in hopes of creating a turnover and possibly another three-point opportunity to preserve the streak. Unfortunately, they just could not fall. Commodore Nation, as we mourn the end of the three-point streak, I encourage everyone to support our team as we work to break an SEC losing streak and continue to build a foundation for our program that will ultimately create new traditions and a winning legacy. That is the most pathetic thing I have ever read on this show.
Look, guys, I know we stink, and the only reason you were coming to games was to watch us hit 1 3-pointer, hopefully. But, you know, the streak's over, so please continue coming to games, Vandy fans.
So this was really a thing they prided themselves on, huh? What a bunch of damn losers. What an awful basketball program. Are you kidding
that's
me?
That's the state of Vanderbilt athletics. That's what I'll say about that.
What do you think Jerry Stackhouse is really thinking while he tweets that out? It's like, oh, my God, what have I done taking this job? Not only am I surrounded by a bunch of nerds who think they're better than everyone, they were really booing our players when they were actually making shots because they weren't worth 3 points. What on earth have I got myself into? I was coached by Dean Smith. I played at UNC. I don't have to put up with this crap. I had a good career in the NBA. Why am I here coaching in this opera house? This rigged gym. My team sucks. Our only really good players out for the season. And now our own students are booing us because we're making shots. That's funny as hell. It really is. That's sad. It's like
that
someone
died.
That
was Stackhouse that made that statement?
It was Stackhouse.
Oh, my gosh.
From Stackhouse's official Twitter, he tweeted that out like someone just got shot in front of him. And he had to mourn the passing of someone. It was like a eulogy. That's pathetic. Vanderbilt, I know this might be breaking news. They are pathetic when it comes to sports. Pretty good hospital, but when it comes to sports, pretty pathetic.
Great medical staff.
Good baseball team, I guess, but it's not baseball season yet.
That's just wild. I mean, there is definitely like something cool about having been one of two teams to, you know,
one of
still,
three.
One of what?
One of three now.
Oh, it's three?
You got Providence and UNLV.
They still have that?
Yeah,
oh,
so
wow.
It
okay.
was
so one of
three.
Three.
Now
yeah.
it's two. Yeah.
But I mean, to have made a three in every single game since the inception of the three-point shot or whatever in the 80s, it's pretty cool, but to act like, it was like a press release, like a esteemed alumnus had passed or something. I question that, you know, decision. But if he thinks that people will not be attending now that the streak is over, then you got to do what you got to do. it's hilarious.
I mean, I just had to share that. I'm glad that's not us. I'm so glad that's not us here. Real quick, going back to what I was going to talk about before I saw that tweet. So with the Kansas suspensions being official now, D'Souza out for 12, and then you have McCormick who's out for 2. Kansas down 2 players for this Saturday's game. They will still have Marcus Garrett, who we've been looking at this tape, and it looks like he definitely could have still been suspended. And Hayden, help me remember the other guy's name. There was a fourth player who could have faced punishment. But I cannot. His name is very hard to pronounce when I'm not looking at the spelling.
Oh, Ochai Agbaji.
That guy. Yeah. But with these being official now, in your mind, how much of a percentage chance do you think this increased the odds of Tennessee winning? Because in my mind, I think it boosted like at least 10%. Am I being too generous?
I'd say 10 to 14% ish.
Stats, analytics.
Yeah.
You love to see it.
I mean,
Jane?
I just plugged that into my Excel spreadsheet, and that's the number I came up with. So,
I would say we have like a 25% chance to win now. And before we had I'll about a 15, it. So yeah, probably 10.
I'll take a 25% chance to win. I mean, you got to think you're still 12-16 who doesn't have a lot of great wins. You got blown out by Wisconsin on your home court. You stunk it up against Memphis. You got, you know, outran by Cincinnati. You have that on your resume. You're still going up against one of the best programs consistently in the nation. Also, they're number three right now. They already have a home loss, but it is to the current number one team in the country. They don't lose a lot of home games. They really only maybe lose one home game per season, if that. And they've already lost that one, so you knew it was going to be tough. I'm just glad it's going to be a little bit easier. I think this Tennessee team is built to get it done. They just really obviously have to play as close to a perfect game as they can. But these suspensions have made it a little bit easier, though. So I'll take it, man. I'm going to take it. It definitely gets me more intrigued about watching this one close coming up this weekend. We're going to hit another break, come back, close out our number one of the show here. Our own Trey Smith won an award today. He won an inaugural award. Tell you about that when we come back here. And also tell you about a police investigation involving the Philadelphia Flyers. Stay tuned right here on Overtime. We'll tell you about it coming up after this. All right, final segment of hour one here. Trey Smith today got himself a nice award. It's a major award. Fragile, I think it's Italian. But in all seriousness, Trey Smith was honored today. And as soon as I can find the exact release here, I'll tell you what that award was. But it's been a good couple of weeks for Trey Smith. Got all the fanfare about him returning. And yeah, man, he's getting a new teammate in Cade Mays, hopefully for this upcoming season as well. So continues today, because today he was named the inaugural winner of the Fritz Pollard Trophy. Old Fritz Pollard. I love him, man. I love old Fritz. I actually don't know who the hell Fritz Pollard is. But Trey Smith won an award in his honor, and he will officially be honored. It says at the 15th annual Johnny L. Cochran Jr. Salute to Excellence Awards coming up here. It's probably coming up in about next month here. What is this award exactly for? I don't know.
Well, Fritz Pollard, Frederick Douglass Fritz Pollard, was an American football player and coach. He was the first African-American head coach in the NFL. He and Bobby Marshall were the first two African-American players in the NFL in 1920.
Boom! Stats! History. Love to see it. Okay.
Seems so, like a good award.
It does. February 3rd is when he's going to have it. This release said January 3rd. A little bit of a typo there. But February 3rd is when he's going to be honored with it. This event will take place at the Fort Lauderdale Broward County Convention Center in conjunction with Super Bowl 54.
Nice.
So good. So I'm trying to find more info about this. Is this like an off-the-field service type of thing? Is it like – does it have something to do with the way he's battled back from his health issues? It almost sounds like it. I can't find anything. I have another story here if you're trying to find exactly what he got it for, because all I know, he's being awarded with this first award of its kind, and it sounds like there's a good legacy behind it. But Trey Smith, it says here in this other news story, he's going to be a part of a group of UT students working behind the scenes of Super Bowl 54. They're going to be working in Miami from January 29th to February the 3rd. There's a whole list of all these other students along with Trey Smith. So what are they going to be doing? They're going to be working behind the scenes of setting up the Super Bowl. It's going to be a networking opportunity for future employment. This student group is comprised of some athletes, and all are majoring in business communications, kinesiology, or sports management. Okay.
So
nice little trip.
The Fritz Pollard Trophy honors a college player who has exemplified extraordinary courage, community values, and exceptional performance on the field. The award ceremony celebrates individuals and organizations displaying outstanding performances on field, in front offices, and across the United States by exemplifying diversity, courage, and meritorious performance.
So pretty much everything Trey Smith has done on and off the field,
He's
getting awarded for it.
Yes, sir.
That seems to describe him perfectly because, A, great football player, B, even better human being. Think about the coat drive he helped organize for the homeless a couple years ago. He helped organize that, had a great turnout for that. And then, of course, battling back from the blood clots as well. Seems very well deserved. Good on Trey. Love Trey Smith. Definitely a very wholesome part of Tennessee football here. So good for him. Hope he has a great weekend down there in Miami. And we go from that heartwarming story to something potentially terrifying.
They're coming for Gritty, dude.
Depending on how you look at it, they're coming for Gritty! Or maybe, rather, Gritty is coming for your children and trying to assault them.
The stuff of nightmares.
Because allegedly, Gritty, the Philadelphia Flyers mascot, and if you haven't seen Gritty by now, Justin, you're a Philly sports person. How would you describe Gritty to someone?
Imagine the Philly fanatic, but, you know, kind of a ginger color, sort of like the Flyers, you know, main orangish color, with, you know, flowier hair and big old googly eyes and a big Muppet sort of smile. But that's Gritty. He sort of took the NHL by storm. One of the leading, you know, entertaining mascots. As you know, Philly does it big with, you know, personality, strange mascots. But yeah, mascot Gritty is under police investigation following allegations of physical assault. The mascot for the Flyers is being investigated for allegedly pushing a 13-year-old boy during a meet and greet. The Flyers say they found nothing to support the claim after an investigation, which I'm guessing was an internal investigation, but a father and his son were at a meet-and-greet event in November for the Flyers, and the suit claims that Gritty punched his son in the back. So, we will see. All I'm going to say is read the transcripts. Gritty will be exonerated if you just... this is fake news, is what I'm going to say.
I don't think I believe this here. I think it's.
This is a setup.
It sounds like a family just trying to get money. Why would you go after Gritty? I would believe the Philly fanatic would punch a kid more than Gritty.
Oh, the Philly fanatic is a great dude. But he's just a jokester.
I would believe it more.
I think he's run over a few people with four wheelers though on accident.
That's on accident. I'd probably believe it more.
He does all kinds of crazy crap.
Gritty.
It's all in the name of fun. Fan experience.
Hey, and you know all about Gritty, don't you? Are you at least you're at least familiar with him, right?
Actually, never heard of him until this segment. I saw a picture of him today, but
so you've seen the picture. Would you believe someone in that costume mascot would ever harm a child? Does he look like someone who would punch and assault a 13-year-old?
I'm sorry to rain on y'all's prayer, but I really just don't care about this.
Oh, come on. It's mascot assault on children.
Well, I didn't even know who it was before that, so he's not a prominent mascot.
Well, yeah, no, I was about to say, like, so they're saying, you know, it was Gritty, but whoever it was, if it's been sort of a revolving role, they might not even know, like, who was in the suit that day.
It's not.
They should rob a bank with a mascot costume on.
Yeah.
It's not Gritty. It's whoever was portraying Gritty at the time.
You can't blame someone for that.
The whole way that he was introduced 2 years ago and just his mixed reviews, because initially you had some people saying this is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. Why the hell would you do this? Some people immediately loved him, and now it seems like everyone just loves him. He's also been adopted by a lot of communists. Have you noticed that?
What?
Justin, have you noticed that?
What?
Like online, like Twitter communists have like...
I don't follow the commies.
I don't either, but I've seen articles about it, and it just makes me feel really weird. I'm like, why?
Hold on a second.
So Gritty represents what, socialism?
At least according to some of them. I don't know if Flyers fans.
Gritty's the common man.
That's what they're saying. They're like, Gritty is a worker.
Gritty is all of us.
Gritty's holding up a hammer and sickle, trying to pass out copies of Das Kapital to everyone in attendance at Flyers games.
Unionize, says Gritty.
Justice for Gritty. He did nothing wrong. The guy portraying Gritty did. Leave Gritty alone. That does it for hour one of Overtime. We have a packed hour two coming up after this here. You're listening to Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. We will be back after this. God bless the priest, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey.